With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
You're not only a sinner and a saint and a soldier, you're a servant in the body of Christ. What is that body of Christ supposed to do with servanthood? And you're not only a servant, you're a steward. And no steward will ever be profitable in the kingdom of God, but we can be faithful. We can be found faithful. What is required of a steward but to be found faithful, to hear Christ say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, where do you start with stewardship in Christ's church?
Welcome, and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message, Found Faithful on Mission. We continue in our series, Lifestyle Stewardship. Are you a faithful steward of the Lord Jesus Christ? Many Christians would be tempted to answer this question solely on the basis of how much they give to the church or how faithfully they tithe. But God has not only called us to be good stewards of our finances, He has also called us to be good stewards of the Word of God and the Gospel, good stewards of the Church of Jesus Christ, good stewards of our calling and gifts in life, and good stewards of our lives and our time on earth. Are you truly living as a faithful, trustworthy steward of Jesus Christ? If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part 2 of the message, Found Faithful on Mission.
Make disciples. That's the imperative. That's your mission. That's why you're here. You're not the state. You're not the family. You're the family of God, the army of God, the body of Christ to do this mission. Now steward it. When I come, you do this until I come again. I'll be with you. And when I come, I want to find you faithful. This is the mission I've given to you. One mission. The imperative is make disciples. One imperative, one command. Then he gives us the four ministries that we need to engage in order to accomplish the mission. What are the four ministries he gives us? Well, the first one is evangelism. Going. Seek to save the lost as you're going. Notice, he doesn't command us to go. He expects us to be going. He commands us what we're supposed to do when we're going, make disciples. But he expects us to be going to the highways and byways with personal evangelism to seek and to save the lost. Now listen, folks, we can have programs of training. We can give events for evangelism. We can do all of this, but listen to me. A church cannot do evangelism to make disciples if you are not evangelizing. You've got to share your faith with others. We can train you. We can give you opportunities. We can create Bridget. We can do all of that. But we can't speak for you. Don't let the world silence you. Speak Christ. We're here to equip you to do that. So you'd have a ministry of evangelism. Then what about when people come to Christ? Bring them in. They've lived in the orphanage of sin. Bring them into the family of God. How do you do that? They were baptized and added to the church. The believer and the household were brought into the household of God. Enfolding. And can I just stop and say, I want to. I am overwhelmed as a pastor. Let me go ahead and say this, to be honest. I am not satisfied with mine or your performance in evangelism. But I will tell you this, I'm overwhelmed by how you enfold people. I love the way you love new people. I love the way you love people. I love the way you shepherd each other. I love the way you're doing it. Not perfectly. We got room for improvement. But can I say something else? I love the way you love the older people, the founders of this church. They're not just forgotten. I love all of that. So I thank God for it. But we can excel still more. But not only is there the ministry of evangelism and the ministry of enfolding, the third thing he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That is equipping ministries. Evangelism, enfolding, and then equipping. Equipping them by teaching them. To disciple, you have to evangelize, you have to enfold, and you have to equip. Fourthly, Harry, you've just run out of room. Where's your fourth one? There's only three participles. Well, let me ask y'all a question. Did Jesus disciple anybody while he was here doing his public ministry for 3 years? Yes or no? Okay, good. That's good. You're almost Baptist with that one. That was good. Now, let me give you a second question. The 11 that are listening to him, did he disciple them for 3 years? Now, question. As soon as they saw him, what did they do? They worshiped him. It even overcame their doubts. They worshiped him. Exaltation. Can you think of it like the only sanctified sport that's in existence? Baseball. For us to do our mission, I'm going to mix metaphors. To do our mission, first base is evangelism, winning people to Jesus. You get to second base by enfolding them. You get to third base by equipping them. And we've scored when those who were sinners who were coming short of the glory of God now desire to gather with God's people and give glory to God and praise to God, then live lives as sacrificial, living sacrifices of worship for God. That's the ministries that we have, evangelism, enfolding, equipping, and then exaltation. But one more thing. We got one imperative, make disciples. We've got four ministries. One more thing. We got one message, to teach and preach and disciple with the whole counsel of God, teaching them to observe. What's the next word? All that I. Now, the lead in that message is the gospel. The circumference is the gospel. The center is the gospel. The substance is the gospel. You never go beyond the gospel, but you can go deeper, higher, wider, and further with the gospel and its implications in our life as a foundation, as a formation, as a motivation in our lives. So here is the gospel ministry that is ours. We have a mission as a church. That's why we capitalize equipping Christians to worship and reach, enfold and love and reach with the gospel of saving grace in Christ. And no program can do it. The stewardship of this mission rest with me and you. Do we embrace it together? Can I tell you the key to diversity is to do this with no discrimination. Just reach everybody within the sound of your voice. Where did Jesus say to spread the seed? Whole field. Rocky ground, thorny, everywhere. And then you disciple. And you know what brings unity? Unity is not that we have diversity. Unity is we who were not a people have become the people of God. Man, I played on sports teams. You would not believe the diversity. But we were one because everything we used with our gifts and our abilities was on that field. Did any of y'all watch football here? Do any of you worship football here? No, be careful. But you watch the sidelines, score comes. Look at them hugging each other. Look at them patting each other on the, watch them. You don't see them clumping up ethnically or demographically or socially. You hear them coming together because together we got the mission done. The mission brings the people of God together who have come to Christ because the mission came to them. And the mission came to them with the message that Jesus saves. Well, let me go to something very contemporary right now. And, you know, in a way I hesitate, but in a way I have to. Pastor, okay, can I ask you a question? If this is our mission to make disciples through those ministries of exaltation, evangelism, enfolding, and equipping, if that is what we're doing, the ministry of upreach, worship, the ministry of outreach, evangelism, the ministry of inreach, enfolding, the ministry of downreach, and that is discipling, if that's what we are doing, and that's what we're called to do until Jesus comes again, may I ask you a question? Because people ask me this, Pastor, and I'm saying this rhetorically because I get asked this. Is Briarwood a missional church? Are y'all missional? Well, there would have been a time I would have more quickly said yes. That time has passed. And the reason why there was a time where I would have said yes is because the historic use of the word missional. The word missional historically used to mean the lifestyle of a missionary. In other words, the missionary who had given themselves to fulfill the mission also embraced a lifestyle that enabled them to fulfill the mission. That was called a missional lifestyle. My problem is not that missional is a word that I don't like. My problem is what it has become. Because the value of the word missional that describes the lifestyle of someone who is on mission is directly related to the mission they're on. If they get on the wrong mission, then missional is no longer a good word. Beyond that, today, missional is no longer used to describe the lifestyle of those on mission. It has become the mission. We're missional. And that's the mission, to say you're missional. But the reason that has happened is because the mission has been lost. This is not the first time. In the corruption of the world, the corruption got the church off mission. In the 13th and 14th century, and we had to have a reformation. The world had corrupted the church and it got off mission. In the lifetime that some here can even remember, the political and secular liberalism, not classic liberalism, which is good, but the political and secular liberalism of the day made its way into the church and it got off mission. And whenever you get off mission, you're going to get off message because the mission controls the message. And then you lose your ministries. And that secular liberalism and political liberalism led to theological liberalism and the loss of the mission in the church. And it's not on mission, therefore its ministries and its message have been adulterated. And I believe the same thing is happening now. The progressive message of the culture has led to an amalgamation of progressivism in the church, and now progressive Christianity has spawned a progressive gospel. And the progressive gospel message is that we have a message that will transform the culture. And now the mission of the church has become cultural transformation and salvation. I do not believe that's our mission. The church has a lane to stay in, but it produces Christians that go into every lane. And the only way we can produce Christians to go into every lane is to stay in our lane and on our mission. And if we lose our mission, we'll lose our message. And if we lose our message, we'll lose our ministries. Cultural transformation is a glorious consequence of our mission. It is not our mission. Our mission is not cultural transformation and salvation. Our mission is sinners' salvation and transformation. That's our mission. And if we do it, when sinners get saved and transformed, guess what happens? Their marriages change. Their families change. Their neighborhoods change. Their workplace changes. Why? Because they're salt and light. The church does not become the Christian. The church disciples the Christians who go out. The church's mission is narrow and focused. Its message is comprehensive. We're teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded them. And if we stay on our mission of discipleship with the whole counsel of God, then what we produce is Christians that are salt of the earth and lights to the world. Then we produce Christians who know how to love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with God. But if we start taking their mission as our mission, then we don't produce Christians who are able to do that. We have truncated what God is doing. We are here to make disciples with a prophetic voice and a priestly ministry and the claims of King Jesus in the lives of men and women. And we are called to make disciples with the message of the whole counsel of God. Let me put it this way. If we lose our mission, then we'll lose our message. Do you remember what I said? The world has found ways to corrupt the church's mission. The church got corrupted in the 13th and 14th century, so it lost its message, and we had to have a reformation. The church lost its message with theological liberalism because it embraced what the world told us our purpose was philanthropically. And we're losing it again. Some churches believe their mission is church growth. If you believe your mission is church growth, it's just a matter of time till you come up with a pragmatic gospel that'll put people in the seats. You'll adulterate worship from God-centered to man-centered. Just a matter of time. If we believe the purpose of the church is that people are counseled to self-esteem, now I'm all for self-esteem, but that's not our purpose. That's a consequence. Our mission is bad news. You're a sinner. You can't save yourself. We're going to say it the best way we can, but it's bad news. And there's only one that can save you. And we are here to bring him to you and you to him. And we'll do anything we can that you will know how much he loves you. And he will forgive you and change you and change everything around you when he lays hold of you. That's what we live to do. That's what we're there to do. That's what God's called us to do. And when that happens, people's lives change. And it draws people in. Statistical growth is a consequence. Self-esteem is a consequence. If we believe we exist for the utopia of social justice, it's just a matter of time till we come up with a social gospel. If we believe that we exist for self-esteem, we'll get a therapy gospel. If we believe that we exist to make sure you're successful in life, we'll come up with a prosperity gospel. The mission ultimately defines the message. And if you lose the message, you lose the ministries. Without the message, you can't do the ministries. Without the ministries, you can't do the mission. But the mission is crucial. That's why it's number one in this series. We make disciples through the ministries of upreach, exaltation, outreach, evangelism, inreach, enfolding, and downreach of equipping in the Lord and for the Lord. So that's where we are. I prefer to use another term other than missional. Here's the one I would prefer, and it's no brilliant thing. It's just, where do we call this? The Great Commission. So who gave us the Great Commission? Why is it a Great Commission? Because who gave it to us? And he gave it to us to the end of the age. So I prefer to say we're missioned, ED at the end. We've been missioned by Christ, the head of the church. This is why I put you here, and I'm leaving you here to call, perfect, and send, and sanctify my people until I come again. This is why I have you here. So what is the takeaway? Let me give it to you and close in prayer. The takeaway is this is pretty easy. We want to be on mission, on message and ministry. I want to cover the last two with you in the next 2 weeks. But the first one is on mission, because if we're not on mission, we're going to get off message, we're going to get the wrong message, and we're going to lose ministries. We have to be on mission. Harry, why are you so insistent on this? Can I tell you why? Because I want to grow the church, but I don't want the mission to be church growth. But I know if we stay on mission, we're going to reach people. Because I want cultural transformation. I want it. I desperately want it. I want a culture that values life and marriage and gender. I want all of that. But I know the only way we're going to get that is when we do discipleship and teach people the whole counsel of God so they become salt and light. And like every sanctity of life, and you see 10 ministries up here, 8 of them have been started by people who were discipled here. I can take you to a prison that's a dorm you won't believe. You can sit in there and have a picnic with your wife and your whole family before they used to call it Fallujah. Do you know why? We didn't go in with any other agenda except to bring gospel discipleship and the message and ministry of reconciliation to God and others in Christ. And the thing changes. I want cultural transformation, but that's not our mission. That's a consequence. I want people to see themselves as made in the image of God with a biblical concept of self-respect. I want people to be successful in life so that they can use that platform to give glory to God. But those are consequences of us staying on mission and therefore on message and in ministry. I want to keep the message. I don't want to lose our message to the progressive Christianity and progressive gospel. That means that we've got to stay on mission or we will lose it. And the world will give us our message. Listen, it's not the world. It's not the pastor. It's not the elders. It's not you. It's not me. It's not this society. It's not the media. No one out there gives us our mission and our message. Only Jesus. And I want to do that mission and that message because I love Jesus. And I love everything. Listen, I know this is, that's why I get out of bed. This is why I breathe. This is why I want you to breathe. You're in the only institution that's headed to eternity, Christ Church. Until it gets there, this is what it does, and this is what it says. And this is what God's called us to do. This is why we do every member commitment, because we want to get this mission done. We want this message to be proclaimed. We know we're imperfect. We praise God that He's with us until the end of the age. He's working with us and working on us. But we love Jesus and we love His church because He loves His church. We love His message because He has given us the message. We love our ministries because He has ordained these ministries. We love the lost because He loves the lost. What we want to be is, for coming generations, Briarwood desires to be a Christ-centered, gospel-driven and spirit-filled equipping church where every member is a minister and every member is a missionary. Why? Because we want to rescue the perishing. We want to disciple the redeemed. We want to send the people of God. That's why. The perishing, those people in your family that don't know Jesus, immediate and extended, those people at work, they're not just, can I get them for the church growth? They're headed to a Christless eternity with absolute isolation and torment that's indescribable under the judgment of God. Can you imagine the first 30 minutes? And then know it's irrevocable. And we have been put here to tell them there's a Savior who loves you and gave Himself for you. That's our mission. And He will change you. And if today you've come to this place, but you've not yet come to Jesus and you know the place you're headed to and the emptiness in life until you get there, I want to invite you to Jesus. There is fullness of joy evermore. I want to invite you to Christ, to be enfolded in the family of God, to be trained and equipped in the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God, to live life as a worship statement to the glory of God.
May God's people seek to be faithful servants and trustworthy stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ and invest our lives towards serving Him faithfully and wholeheartedly for His glory. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Found Faithful on Mission, or simply ask for message number 15860. Again, that's message number 15860. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of today's CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. There have been periods of time in world history and in our nation's history where God brought great revival, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which led to widespread positive response to the good news of Jesus Christ. What led up to these great awakenings? Could we see such a revival again in our day? Harry Reader examines biblical revival as seen in both the Old and New Testaments in this 20-part series, Revive Us Again, Revival in Biblical Perspective. Harry examines the portrait, prayer, need, and profile of revival. He shares over a dozen examples from the Scriptures of what biblical revival looks like and the lasting impact that revival brings to the individual as well as to a society. Our broken world is in need and is longing for another great awakening. Should we not know what the Bible has to say about revival? Revive Us Again, Revival in Biblical Perspective would make a welcome addition for your personal study or for a group Bible study. To order this set, go online to briarwood.org/revival. That's briarwood.org/revival. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. It's available free at your favorite app store. Simply type in Briarwood PCA. We'd love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reader takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.